Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And this is pretty much how we start off our afternoon. A very good afternoon to you and a warm welcome to Friday's edition of Spectrum. My name is Lukho Mgwedi-Phuthi and I'm absolutely excited to be with you once again on this Friday. It's a busy afternoon, I must say, not only inside here, but just overall. You know, I was driving here this afternoon. I realized it was rather busier than most Fridays. Well, because I get to drive out around about this time. Anyway, enough of that. It's a great afternoon, I must say. And I don't know if I should say we're starting it off on a very high note. And this afternoon, we are having some inspiring insights for our family I'm impressed. Two doctors, I believe one is the son and the other is the dad. And so very good afternoon and a warm welcome to Dr. Johan Slabbert, who is the CEO and founder of the AGL Group. Dr. Slabbert, good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you. Nice being here.
And a very warm welcome also to Dr. Johannes van Staden Slabbert, who is the Managing Director of the AGL Group. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Luca.
I've really been looking forward to this afternoon, I must say. When Arsenica told me about it, I was like, yeah, I really would love to have this discussion with you. And I believe the topic this afternoon is the evolution of leadership, navigating complexity in modern business. Whew. Yeah, real stuff. I must say, with business facing, let me actually give you, both of you, maybe one will choose who starts. Just a bit of an intro. I think it's important because this is not just the only time I'll be having you with me in studio. Maybe I think just so that we get an idea of who you guys are, if you could give us just a little bit of a proper introduction of each of you.
Well, thank you so much, Luca. This is Johan Slabbert speaking. I have been an entrepreneur and a business leader since about 1997. And throughout my career, I've always been very keen in looking at human resource development, of which, you know, leadership development and management development was always a passion. Mm-hmm. And over the last three decades, we've just seen our own leadership being sent off to traditional institutions for leadership development, management development. Mm-hmm. However, when they come back, it's just, you know, it's a little bit different of the same. Mm-hmm. And as globalization hit in and as the globe became more uncertain, we started seeing cracks in leadership and the general resilience. Mm-hmm. And experiencing that firsthand, I think that's where the passion started in terms of what is it that we can do to equip leaders with emotional and spiritual resilience as to deal with so much uncertainty as we're dealing with right now. So part of my background, apart from being in academics in leadership and management practice, I'm also a spiritual director, and I'm also a transpersonal coach, which is a holistic coaching intervention with spirituality at its core, and in our case, Christian spirituality.
I love the sound of that. You know, when people start speaking about spirituality, you're like, okay, let's wait. Let's hear which one it is. So I'm really happy we're on the same page here. I think let's get it going, gentlemen. You know, let's start with the bigger picture. Why is leadership evolving? Let's start there. And what challenges do modern leaders face in today's complex business environment?
At this stage, I think the media, all over media, we can see that global leadership is in crisis. Mm. That is both the corporate environment, the amount of scandals that we're seeing, corruption, if we refer to political leadership, and it's not just within South Africa, it's global.
True.
And there's an urgent invitation for us to consolidate what we came to know as leadership development, in the sense of why isn't it working in terms of our current developmental strategies? And what is it that we can do and become to address this problem? Now, leadership is evolving because the world itself has become more interconnected. Mm-hmm. Very uncertain. You know, we refer to VUCA world as a very volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world. Mm-hmm. It is very fast-paced, and leaders haven't really been equipped to deal with this amount of uncertainty. So literally, leaders today face challenges such as a global crisis. We've got rapid technological advances, yep. The moving in of artificial intelligence into business, mm-hmm. and how that is perceived to rob management and leadership of their purpose. And there's quite a lot of shifting societal expectations. So traditional leadership approaches, which often focus on power, control, and efficiency, just no longer meet the demands of this new world complexity. So modern leaders must adopt a holistic approach that integrates the intellectual, emotional, and most important, the spiritual intelligence. Mm. Because inner resilience can only be developed by using or embarking on inner journeys through spiritual intelligence as the healing mechanism, or bringing the inner game of the leader into synthesis. Okay. So this means, you know, we've got to combine data-driven decisions with relational, ethical, and purpose-driven leadership. Mm-hmm. And it's a year where, as CEO and my son as managing director, we just started experiencing this this calling as a spiritual calling, as to really, really make a difference. You know, suicides are running away. We've got corporate suicides that is running away.
Sure.
Mental health is globally at an all-time low. Mm. We are seeing post-COVID, we're seeing families being destroyed. We see moms losing their jobs and dad taking on too much responsibility, or dad losing his job and mom having to take on all that responsibility. So families general or generally has been under a lot of pressure. So we started, you know, in prayer, started feeling that God is calling us towards a foundation where we can take the Christian values of love, compassion, and care, and actually use that to equip leaders as a global ethic. You know, there's a lot of conversation in terms of whether one could put down a global ethic. And personally, I'm of the opinion, yes, you can, because the global ethic is driven by love and compassion and care. So at Pentagon, at this leadership foundation, we focus on equipping leaders with both the skills with both the skills and inner resilience necessary to lead transformationally in this challenging landscape.
All right. All right. So tell me also, why are traditional universities and business schools, struggling to equip leaders for these complexities? What do you think the reason is?
Maybe to start off and just to say is that it's not because of a lack of trying. There's a huge amount of money that's being spent globally on leadership and management development, but for some reason we aren't getting to the crux of developing capacity rather than just skill. So traditional institutions also, and we have to understand that their business model is positioned in such a way that it is one syllabus or one pedagogy that is being delivered to a group of 150 students. Mm. The challenge with that is that we are moving to a more context-specific and industry-specific and culturally specific need in the development of leaders, which means the one size does not fit all.
It does
anymore.
Not. yep.
And yeah, so our invitation is to, and this is where these institutions struggle, because if they want to move down to one-on-one focus,
okay,
it means that they can't have these classes of 150, 200 students,
mm-hmm.
which means that there's just not enough funds being generated to cover costs.
Exactly.
So they are a little bit in a, you know, between a rock and a hard place. And you know, we've got total insight to that, and this is why in our programs we only take in a maximum of 10 students at a go. Because there's a lot of one-on-one focus to ensure that culturally, industry specific, the leader really gets the dough in terms of building capacity and resilience. So traditional institutions continue to play a vital role, but they are struggling because there's often a sort of an over-focus on horizontal development. And that basically boils down to teaching technical skills and frameworks, whilst they often neglect, because they don't have the time, the vertical development. Is the vertical development component, which is about the leader's inner growth and capacity to navigate complexity. It's to sort of, you know, look, it's a sort of helping and teaching and developing the leader and the manager to not just make decisions from the head space, but to incorporate the heart space into the decision making. I often draw the parallel. I've been fortunate enough that I flew commercial helicopters for about 15 years. So I often draw the parallel with helicopter pilot training. You know, you can have two pilots, both trained in commercial flying. Both of these individuals have passed rigorous academics, and they passed their flight test.
Okay.
Now, these two guys end up on a helicopter pad. They get into two different helicopters, and they fly 10 people to a specific destination. On the way back, they hit serious turbulence as they're coming over the mountains. Now, both have got the same academic training. The skills are in place. But the pilot that can remain calm with an inner resilience, driven through self-confidence, but yet humility, that pilot that can become one with a machine and sort of allow the integrated excellence to take over will ride the storm, and that's the pilot that would fly safe. However, if the alternate pilot does not have that inner capacity, that resilience, can easily go into a panic because they try and do it from the headspace, and that's when, you know, when bad things happen. So in leadership, we've just seen this over and over and over. It's becoming a pilot isn't just about learning to operate the machine.
Exactly.
It's about that inner calm. It's that decision-making ability amidst an environment where everything screams at you. There's horns going off. It's that ability just to stay calm in that critical moments. And similarly, leadership isn't just about mastering tools, which unfortunately we've been focusing on for too long, hence the global leadership crisis. So basically, we focus on not just what the leader's supposed to do, but the invitation of what they need to become in Christ. And it is, excuse me, it's a year where we emphasize the vertical development. We help leaders then to cultivate that self-awareness, resilience, a higher purpose, integrating the intellectual, emotional, and very important, the spiritual intelligence, as to prepare them not just to manage systems, but to inspire and transform people amidst the chaos.
Sure. Now, one is probably listening right now, Doc, and they're saying, all right, I get it. And what you're saying makes sense. But how do you at Pinnagon then address these gaps left by traditional programs? What would you say?
Well, Luca, I'm going to take over just for a moment. I think at Pinnagon, we move beyond the traditional theory by engaging leaders on a personal and a transformative level. So, so this means we try to go beyond mere knowledge transfer, and this we do based on three principles. The first one is inner transformation. We have to start with the individual leader themselves, focusing on healing and strengthening their foundational relationships with themselves. You know, it's that old saying, you can't be expected to lead if you can't effectively lead yourself.
Yeah.
It has to start with the individual themselves. And without this, leadership development is going to remain superficial. It's always going to be in the headspace.
That's true.
Yeah. And we need to get the leader to understand who they are. Where does the true self lie? Where does the false self lie, you know, from an ego perspective? That's where the initial transformation then needs to start. And then to build on that, we integrate faith. So for Christian leaders, we incorporate biblical teachings and spiritual practices to ensure that the leader's actions align with their faith. And then lastly, that this isn't done just on a theoretical basis, but through experiential learning.
Yeah.
So through vision quests in nature and reflective silence and the Enneagram, our programs provide an immersive experience that helps the leader uncover their unique strengths and purposes. It's not just book smarts. It has to go over into an experiential learning. So this approach not only equips our leaders to navigate complexity, but it enhances competence and character. And this is the gap that we're putting on full, that the traditional institutions are struggling to bring across.
As you're speaking, Dr. Johannes, I'm actually thinking, you know, my mom always says, like you're saying, you can be very book smart and still not be street smart enough.
Exactly. So it's that street smart we need to work on.
Yeah. So actually, as you're speaking, I'm actually reminded of a I want to say an ex-friend of mine who is, I always say, a public successor, but very much a private failure. Because, look, everybody will applaud him. And I'd say to him, but my worry is in the future this is going to catch up with you, because there are so many internal things that are failing in your life. But you want to put up this front that, look, I've got it all under control. But these things are going to catch up with you in the future, because you're failing to manage your own life. You're failing to have the morals and values and leading your own life while you're trying to give everybody else the advice they need. You're trying to assist everyone around you. Your life is failing.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That's so true. We're actually just having a look at a book of Mel Robbins here with the title "Stop Saying You're Fine." You know, that's what you're explaining. Over the short term is great from a safety for yourself perspective, but it's not sustainable.
Exactly.
And you know that ego self can really bite you if you're not careful.
So tell me, how can leaders then move beyond traditional models to lead effectively in today's complexities?
Now, Luca, that is the million-dollar question. and maybe let's start with, in uncertainty, leaders find the need to survive.
Okay.
When there's a lack of vision and a lack of certainty, there's a survival mode that hits in. And the survival mode is normally driven through an ego identity, which is driven by either anger, fear, or shame. Now, humans, like leaders and managers, will do almost anything to be accepted and not rejected. So you've got a survival mechanism that is driven through what we refer to as the false self. And that being driven through anger, fear, or shame, as opposed to the soul-centered identity that's driven through love, compassion, and care. So in the mind state of survival, you then find yourself in a scenario where, first of all, the relationship that the leader have or the manager have with himself deteriorates. So basically, we need to move beyond the ego. We need to move beyond Maslow's self-actualization. We need to move to what we refer to as self-transcendence. That's meaning I become aware of my anger, my fear, and my shame. That's okay. One of the first steps. We identify, as Jung says, you know, you can't integrate the ego if you haven't met, you know, the ego. So you need to be introduced to that wound inside, that defense mechanism. And in that process, to start moving the head space into the heart space and then into the gut space. Because, you know, we have three centers of intelligence. We've got a head space, we've got a heart space, and we've got a gut space.
Okay.
And we normally use one as a predominant intelligence.
Okay.
Then supported by a second one, but we normally sort of erode or leave out completely the third one. So in this process of survival, it is so important that we help leaders to meet their egos, then to go and find out, are they driven through anger, fear, or shame as a major energy? Then introduce them to a soul-centered identity in Christ as love, compassion, and care, and then put them on a journey, an inner journey, through exercises and practices. We take the guys into the mountains, and we sort of allow nature, which in fact is God's first Bible, to become the facilitator of the healing process. Because as you help the leader to move inside to the hurt, the core of the survival, inevitably that's where they meet Jesus, because Jesus carries the ultimate wound. And it's in that space that, as Jesus is known as the relational truth, that is where the manager or the leader, through the grace of God and Jesus, can start working on the relationship with himself, where they rediscover their identity and purpose. Then it moves on to sort of work on your relationship with others, because if you do not show love, compassion, and care to yourself, it is impossible for you to show love, compassion, and care in leadership to those that you lead. Once we through the grace of God start that healing with the self, it then flows over into improving our relationship with others, where we build trust and empathy, and then it naturally spills over to we now start healing our relationship with the plant and animal kingdom, God's creation, where we embrace stewardship, and then ultimately we move to a space where Jesus takes us by the hand and walks us back to the soul, as he says, you know, no one gets to the Father but through me. So he then walks us back to our soul, to our source, which is God, aligning us, ourselves, with a higher purpose. When these relationships are restored, it's only then that leaders can lead with clarity, compassion, and confidence.
Sure, I could listen to you guys literally the whole day. Honestly, I could definitely do that. Now, tell me, I do believe that you've got some programs running at Pentagon. So tell me, what Pentagon's leadership programs stand out?
So, Luca, yeah, we have quite a few programs that we run at the Pentagon Foundation, and one of them specifically focused on Christian leadership. Mm. But our programs are unique because there are four pillars that we integrate. Now, the first one is the traditional horizontal development, the traditional university knowledge transfer, the book smart that we spoke about earlier. Now, you know, this continues to hold weight. It's still a business school. Continuous research conducted on the latest leadership and management practices and andragogies are aligned across a wide range of business administration disciplines, marketing, sales, finance, project management, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
And that's maybe just a sort of a, you know, a quick fix for the ego in the program. But then over the course of the program, we focus on vertical development, where this is the anchoring, the resilience of the leader amidst a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous economic playing field, where we focus on who the leader is and not just what it is that they do. Not just the doing, but equally focusing on why they are in leadership, moving the question away from what to the why. Why am I in leadership? And following on this, we have faith and practice integration, where we align leadership with biblical principles, which is across all our programs, but specifically in our Christian leadership program. And then lastly, as I said earlier, was through experiential learning. We offer tools like vision quests, reflective silences, and Ignatian spiritual practices, allowing the leader to find their true self in practice and not just in theory. So further than that, we actually also help our leaders discern God's will in decision-making. For example, with Johan's background in spiritual direction, we assist our delegates, for example, to use the analogy of a farmer, you know, discerning when to plant and when to harvest. We assist our leaders in discerning and making spirit-led, purpose-driven decisions. And this is what sets us apart in our programs.
Sure.
So, Luca, maybe if I can just add to what Johannes has just mentioned, I just want to give you an example. We use the scripture of the prodigal son, where what is it that kept the prodigal son and daughter out there that they could not return back home? It was anger with themselves and others. It was fear about what their dad was going to say. And it's shame. You know, how can I look my dad in the eyes? Now, with all of us, in the first half of life, we're supposed to develop the identity, our skills, et cetera, in terms of what we do. But in the second part of life, which just interestingly started around about 38 to 42, second part, there's an invitation to not develop skills, but rather who it is that I need to become. Now, in using the prodigal son, the manager or the delegate can then start relating, is to say that I've lived, I've scarred, I've made mistakes, but I'm still in doubt about the unconditional love of God. And why is it difficult for me to grasp that? Is because I've messed up, I was so bad, and et cetera. And now I'm sitting here with anger and with fear and shame, and I can't go home. And what we find is that the healing starts when the delegate journeys with Jesus, and then the healing starts, and then it's a sort of Jesus takes them by the hand and leads them back home. That's just one of the examples in terms of using biblical principles to help leaders, executive leaders, middle management, regardless, to start the healing process. Because I am pretty much
you know, sort of an activist when it gets to this, in, or to this point, is when universities or institutions or leadership development practitioners speak to me about leadership and management development, I actually stop them and I say, no development and no growth can take place if the leader or manager has not started the process of self-healing.
Sure. It starts with the leader.
That's it. It starts with you, not your environment. Mm. It's your inner game.
Sure.
It's those past experiences that you've had and the emotions that you've used to make sense of those that then starts developing belief systems, which they are predominantly limiting belief systems. And therefore, I have to pretend that I'm good and I'm so worried that people might see through me.
Sure.
If the healing doesn't start, I'm at the point now, I mean, I've been on this academic journey for the last 12 years now, and I'm really at the point where I say, if you try and develop a leader or a manager without focusing on the heart space healing, it is a waste of time and it's a waste of money.
Yeah, as you're speaking, Doc, I'm actually thinking, you know, how many events and places we've attended, and I'm sitting here thinking, I might have never known what their headspace was looking like, but, you know, we leave having taken some powerful snippets here and there, but really, I'm actually just thinking here, we never really know what headspace they're at and what's happening in their own lives.
Exactly, and that is why... you know, I promote and we promote you meet the leader or the manager where they are in life right now.
Sure. You meet them where they are at right now.
That's it.
Powerful. Now, can you gentlemen then please elaborate for me on the difference between the goal line and the soul line in leadership?
This directly refers to the horizontal development and the vertical development that we spoke about. So your horizontal development is a linear movement. I start at A and I learn skills to end up at B.
Okay.
But your vertical development is your grounding. It's the anchoring, and that's why we refer to it as the soul line. So as you move with your goal line and you don't develop the soul line, your challenge in a world that is very volatile and uncertain is that you end up with no anchor. So the soul line refers to the vertical development, my inner development, the capacity for emotional and spiritual resilience, where my goal line is the traditional. I'm putting in and I'm expecting a outcome.
Sure. Wow. I'm actually just sitting thinking here, yeah, if you guys are going in hard, I mean, first episode of this, what do we have left?
It's passion.
It is. I'm sitting worried. I'm like, hey, what more can you dish out? This is potent stuff, I must say. So how can leaders then practically integrate excellence and beauty into their leadership?
All right. So, Luko, as someone who is in the hot seat of a group of companies, that is a interesting question that we continuously ask at Pinnacle and in industry. Maybe just to sum it up in one sentence, the title of Johan's master's dissertation was Finding Significance Outside of Performance. And I think that in one line, that sort of answers the question. But integrating excellence and beauty requires a fundamental redefinition of what it is that we perceive to be success. All right. So excellence focus on measurable outcomes, goals, key performance indicators, KPIs, and you know the like. While beauty speaks to how we go about attaining those goals, KPIs, et cetera, with integrity, creativity, and compassion. Now, there are a few steps that can be followed. And the first is clarifying your purpose, aligning your goals and your KPIs with a higher calling. why do I need to attain these KPIs? Why do I need to attain these goals? Is to have a very clear and well-represented purpose. The second is fostering creativity. It's very important to operate in in a business environment where you encourage innovative and creative thinking. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is leading with integrity. You know, sure. Holding yourself accountable to kingdom mm-hmm. values. And when these are aligned, you will see that success sort of starts permeating without you even trying. Because you are leading your success from a place of love, compassion, and care. And it doesn't leave behind undue destruction of egos driven by anger, fear, and shame. So, in short, to bring the beauty and the excellence together, never give up the excellence. It's still business. Mm. But how you go about attaining that excellence is really a matter of choice.
Sorry,
Luca. Yeah, just if I can build on what Johannes has just said, easy to understand this if we refer to the prophet of Jeremiah, where he sort of watches the potter and then he explains what the potter is doing, and every time the potter, sort of shapes this vase. And it is still beautiful in art, but it's not totally functional. Then it's broken again.
Yeah.
And then they start from scratch. And this reminds me of a book written by Eugene Peterson. I think the book is called Running with the Horses, where he specifically talks about the message that, you see, God wants us to be both beautiful and excellent, both beautiful and functional. But it's to bring those two together through the heart space and not fear, anger, or shame.
Sure. Oh, man, what is your vision for the future of leadership development?
Sure. difficult questions on a Friday afternoon.
But it's a sense of heaviness that I feel we can handle. We can handle.
After this conversation, most definitely. Our vision is for leadership to reflect both the excellence and the beauty. Of God's design. Jesus came to show us what it means to be perfectly human. And as leaders, we have a calling to embody this balance. And at Polygon, we believe that leadership begins with this inner healing, and then it extends outward, to outward transformation. And when leaders restore their relationships with themselves, with their others, with the plant and animal kingdom, and with God, they navigate complexity with wisdom, grace, love, compassion, and care, not through anger, fear, and shame. That leaves destruction. So to all the aspiring leaders out there, I want to encourage you to step onto the potter's wheel, as Johan mentioned now, and let God shape you. Embrace excellence, but don't forget the beauty of your soul and the beauty of the journeys. This balance will enable you to leave a legacy that not only honors God, but uplifts society as a whole.
Sure. I as much as that was our last question, I think it's very important for me to say, in case one is listening right now, I really would not want anyone missing out on the well of knowledge that you've got to impart. And I think I'm even more impressed because I was actually just reading your titles earlier on, and I thought, oh, this is all about academics. But I think to learn that, as much as it's important, it's not put aside. This has a whole lot to do with who we are, like Dr. Slabbert was saying. It has a lot to do with us. And the beautiful thing is, this is Radio Pulpit, and so there are a lot of leaders that get to listen in, and I feel this is very important for us. So if one is listening right now and they would just love to reach out to Pentagon, how do we go about doing that?
So Look, we have our website that listeners are more than welcome to contact us through. It's www.pinnagon.com, and all our necessary contact information is available on the website should anybody wish to make contact with us.
Nice and simple, nice and easy. Gentlemen, thank you so much for such a great chat on a Friday afternoon. It was it was really just so worth it.
Lucas, thank you so much for you. It was lovely spending this time with you.
Yeah, no, enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you, Lucas.
Until next week then, God bless.
Thank you. You too. Blessings. Bye-bye.
As easy as the touch of a button. The message of life on 657 AM.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
The Word for You Today is our youth devotional that has been available as a printed booklet and has also been accessible via email. It is intended to encourage and guide young people in their walk with God. Well, we are excited to announce that the youth devotional is going fully digital. This means that the Word for You Today booklet will no longer be available in hard copy or sent by post, but it will still be accessible on the I Am Youth website, email subscription, and the I Am Youth app, which is available on both the Google Play Store and App Store for iPhone users. Visit www.imymovement.co.za and join the move to digital.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.